This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. It's Zoomer Radio's Theater of the Mind with Frank Proctor. Open your mind as we fill your head with amazing thrills, chills, and laughs. Theater of the Mind, the best love programs from radio's golden age, only on Zoomer Radio. Now, here is your master storyteller, Frank Proctor. It's Zoomer Radio's Theater of the Mind with Frank Proctor. Open your mind as we fill your head with amazing thrills, chills, and laughs. Theater of the Mind, the best love programs from radio's golden age, only on Zoomer Radio. Now, here is your master storyteller, Frank Proctor.
Well, thank you, and welcome to the show. My time is limited tonight, so let's get straight to the action with a guy who likes as little action as possible, and that would be Nero Wolf and the episode The Brave Rabbit.
Ladies and gentlemen, that phone bell means adventure.
Hello?
Hello. The young man answering the phone is Archie Goodwin. Hello. The mountain of a man engaged in deep thought in the oversized armchair is Nero Wolf.
Mr. Wolf, we've got a case. I'm not sure whether somebody's going to kill a rabbit or a rabbit is going to kill somebody, but either way, it's going to be murder. Please, Mr. Wolf, even orchids have to eat.
Oy.
Yes, sir, Mr. Wolf will take the case. As a matter of fact, he's working on it right now.
Money, work, bah.
Greatest detective in the world. Only trouble is, he is. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Archie is right. Nero Wolf is the greatest detective in the world, and the fattest, and the least energetic. Nero Wolf, created by Rex Stout, and brought to you over this NBC network in a new series of adventures by Mr. Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight, it's the case Nero Wolf likes to remember as the case of the friendly rabbit. He sometimes prefers his proverb scramble. It began in lots of places. Let's take a look at a few of them. In particular, the richly appointed library of a man named Veek.
Mr. Veek, what's happening?
Relax, Haynes, your blood pressure.
I thought it was a gag, but you really are shutting the club down.
I'm shutting it down.
Why? I got the joint rolling, the suckers are pouring in.
And next week, the governor's committee.
Huh?
It's moving out of Baylor County. Our joint enterprise is in Baylor County. I think the club needs a rest. Crime committees so rarely admire gambling.
Oh, that's different.
So it is. The club needs a rest. You need a vacation. Florida, perhaps?
I don't like Florida.
Pick any place you like, just so long as you get out of reach of a subpoena.
The heat's on, huh, boss?
You've just coined a phrase that may very well catch on. Get out and stay out of the state until I send for you.
Okay, Mr. V. Sure, Mr. V.
Marshal?
Yeah?
That about covers us in Baylor, am I right?
You're right.
The dear governor's dear committee will be sorely disappointed. However, I doubt it'll give up quite so soon.
I wouldn't think so.
Therefore, have the truck driver deliver another shipment of carrots to the rabbit farm. Eh, Marshal?
Okay, boss.
Come in, Williams.
Good afternoon, Governor.
Good afternoon. Williams, I'm disturbed.
The crime committee, sir?
It was doing well, very well. And then...
I know, sir.
There's a leak. Someone is passing on confidential information.
Who? That's the problem. Who? Started 3 weeks ago.
A three-man committee? Wilson, McCarthy, Tolliver. One of them, Williams?
I'd stake my life, sir, no.
Then who?
You've forgotten Collier. committee secretary.
You have reason to suspect him?
No, nothing that means anything. Except...
You do suspect him.
Well, he's been watched, telephone calls checked, mail. I have no reason to suspect him. Except that one thing bothers me.
What's that?
He has a small farm in Greendale County. He rarely went near the place in all the time he's been up here at the Capitol. But that suddenly changed.
3 weeks ago?
Yes, sir. He's been staying at the farm for 3 weeks.
Is there anything unusual about that farm?
Nothing unusual. Except Jimmy Collier has gone in for raising rabbits.
Jimmy.
Who is... Oh, hello, Claire.
You've been hiding from me.
I've been out here with the rabbits.
Jimmy, what's wrong?
With what?
You.
There's nothing...
You're lying. We grew up together, remember? We live next to each other, Jimmy. We were going to be married.
Hey, wait a minute. We still are, last I heard.
You haven't heard recently enough.
What does that mean?
It means we're not getting married.
But, Claire...
You've been avoiding me. And you've been getting money, lots of money, from someplace. And in a shady way, I feel.
All right, you know. So what?
I've been concerned about your sudden devotion to these rabbits. And the kind of men you've been seeing.
What do you mean?
Like the one up at the house now, waiting for you.
Oh, there's somebody waiting?
That's why I came down here after you.
I'd better get up there.
He's a crook, Jimmy.
Look, I... All right. I sort of got myself in a mess. I needed money and... But it's over, Claire. No more.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure.
I wish I could believe you. For your own sake. But I feel I can't. Not anymore.
Archie.
Yes, Mr. Wolf.
Either stop breathing so heavily or...
Take the evening off?
Stop breathing.
Old Dr. Titmouse wouldn't approve of that.
Who in blue and assorted blazes is old Dr. Titmouse?
My family doctor.
May have escaped your puny mind, but you don't have a family. Answer the phone.
Oh, but it might be a case. It might be very important. It might mean work, Mr. Wolf.
Archie.
W-O-R-K. You've got millions in the bank. Why worry?
Confound you. Do you want me to answer that phone myself?
Now you've got me. No, Mr. Wolf. Couldn't let you knock yourself out lifting a telephone receiver. Nero Wolf's office. Archie Goodwin speaking.
What?
What? Wait, Mr. Wolf is to go up to Greendale at... Oh, now look, friend. Mr. Wolf does not go anywhere, and that includes Greendale. He wouldn't stir out of the house for anybody short of the... What? I see. Yes, sir, in an hour. Goodbye. Mr. Wolf, brace yourself. You've got an appointment with a Mr. Williams at the Starlight Hotel in Greendale for 1 hour from now.
You're insane.
No, I'll admit I've been tempted.
Sure, were it not for the fact that often the native hue of resolution is sicklied o'er with a pale cast of thought.
Quoting Hamlet will get you no place.
I would fire you.
And then who would drive you to the Starlight Hotel in Greendale?
I'm not going to Greendale.
Nevertheless, in an hour, you will be there.
And who, may I inquire, Cecil?
The governor of the state.
Is that all, Mr. Williams?
That, Mr. Wolf, is all anyone knows about the situation. Except the guilty man, of course.
An admirably clear summary, Mr. Williams.
Obviously, our meeting here at the hotel was necessary. I couldn't be seen entering your house, nor would it have been advisable for you to visit the governor.
I can appreciate that. You're quite sure I need pay no attention to anyone on the committee except James Collier?
Quite sure.
Police surveillance of Collier is deemed unwise. He has suddenly taken interest in rabbits, but although keeping them may perhaps be considered suspicious, it is hardly in itself of value. You have no other evidence against Collier?
I know we're clutching at straws, Mr. Wolf. But there is a leak and work is being nullified. Something must be done. Hence the governor's call for you.
Very well, sir. I shall attempt to be more than a man clutching at a straw. I said attempt. Archie, unpack. We shall stay at Greendale near Collier and his rabbits.
Mr. Wolf? Mr. Wolf? Oh, naturally, I know that shutting your eyes and pushing your lips in and out indicates you're thinking feverishly, but there's nothing for you to think about.
Three.
Oh, I accept your correction. What are you thinking about?
Hotel beds. They're notoriously flimsy.
Oh, you gave up on the case so soon.
Fiddlesticks. I already know exactly what role the rabbits play in our problem. Therefore...
We're going to drive out to Collier's farm?
You are.
While you test the hotel beds, fine.
It'll be necessary for you to spend the night at Collier's place. You'll drive out there and pretend you've lost a cylinder or something.
Oh, a lost cylinder. Oh, fine.
Confound you, Archie. You can invent something plausible as a pretext, and if you are properly charming, Mr. Collier will, I hope, invite you to stay the night.
And during the night I sleep, happily breathing the fresh country air.
Trust not.
Okay, Mr. Wolf, I accept the assignment. I will learn all I can from Mr. Collier's rabbits. Incidentally, remember the play Harvey?
I do. Why?
Harvey was an invisible rabbit, a figment of a man's imagination. I hope this rabbit venture is more tangible, Mr. Wolf.
It is, Mr. Goodwin. Will you desist and depart?
Okay. Oh, if anyone calls, just say I've gone out to Greendale to cross-examine a rabbit.
Archie, I think you're going to be quite surprised. Yes.
Running out of gas, and me such a big boy. Hello.
Hello.
That tree a friend of yours?
The tree?
Yeah, the one you're clutching.
Oh, I was leaning against it.
It's an idea, but not a good one. Trees are notoriously skittish. The instant you really need one, they're out sowing wild oaks or something.
You sound as if you know a lot about trees.
Oh, I do. I was brought up in one. Look, now, if you really have to lean, I can recommend...
No, thanks.
Huh? I tried. Nice moonlight we're having. My name is Goodwin, and blondes call me Archie.
I'm not blonde.
Brunettes call me Archie, too.
And what do redheads call you?
We'll just skip that, huh? And your name is...
Claire.
Claire. I approve. Now, you may not believe this, but I have just run out of gas. You think I might wangle some up at your house?
My house? You mean Jimmy's house.
All right, I mean Jimmy's house.
Well, I don't know. He might have some...
Now, why don't we go up to the house and ask him?
Well... All right.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy who?
Collier.
Uh-huh. I like to be formal when I'm borrowing gas. Would you mind waving your left hand in front of my nose?
Waving, Mike?
Yes, just try it. Don't worry. I won't bite it.
All right. I did.
And very gracefully, too. No ring on the third finger. You're not Mrs. Collier.
There isn't any Mrs. Collier.
Are you applying for the position?
Mr. Goodwin, I...
Now, remember what I confided in you about brunettes.
All right. Archie, you're a little rapid.
Maybe. But I always remember what old Dr. Titmouse said.
What did he say?
Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Old time is still a-flying.
Robert Herrick wrote that.
He did? Dr. Titmouse is a liar. How much farther is this house?
Well, it's just beyond those trees.
What?
There was something ran across the path. It brushed my legs. It frightened me so.
Must have been a rabbit.
I guess it was. Oh, I'm sorry. There was silly of me.
Oh. Don't worry about it. Also, you will have noticed how much more satisfactory I am than a tree. We're clutching at it. Moments of stress, I mean.
Archie.
Mm-hmm. But you better let go now.
What I...
And we'll get on to the house. See, I don't need a haircut, and you're not the right type for Delilah anyway.
You mean something by that. Something nasty.
Well, that depends. What I meant is you've already signaled whoever you're supposed to signal. Nothing frightened you back there.
Why?
That scream had a lot of carrying power. Well, that's the house, huh? Looks peaceful enough.
Archie,
Who were you supposed to warn if anyone came up the path to the house?
Well, no one. Something did frighten
me. Honey, I've been lied to by experts, and you're not one. Oh, think I ought to knock? No, we don't think I ought to knock. Dark inside, except for a handful of moonlight filtering in through the windows. Kind of early for Collier to turn in, isn't it?
I wouldn't know.
Let's go find out. Now, relax. Grandpa's making with the chimes. Time is... 10:00. It's getting late. Come on. This would be the living room, filled with early American furniture. The early Americans would be pleased. Nothing here. What's that door lead to?
I don't know.
Or won't tell? Smaller room. Dark as...
Come in. Put the beer on. Oh, you're not the bellboy.
I'm sorry. I should have remembered to bring some beer.
Indeed, and you are?
I'm a fellow guest at this hotel, Mr. Wolf. My name is Veek.
Veek, yes. A criminal of moderate intelligence and immoderate pretensions.
We won't quarrel, Mr. Wolf. I've something to offer you. You and your boy Goodwin didn't drive up to Greendale for the exercise.
I dislike exercise. Shortens life.
James Collier lives nearby. The Governor's Committee on Crime is unhappy. There's been a leakage of information. It hasn't helped them in their work.
But it has helped you.
You wouldn't have left your house in New York on any ordinary job. A request from the Governor, however. Shall we stop fencing?
I don't have to fence with you.
The committee's work doesn't particularly bother me. I've already made my arrangements for retiring from active business, shall I say. However, I don't want you messing around in the meantime.
Indeed.
In your effort to discover how the committee's information leaked out, you might also discover a number of things about me that I prefer to remain undiscovered.
No one has employed me to do anything about you, sir?
Not directly, but indirectly you might have to. I want to insure myself against any such possibility. I want to make a deal with you. I'm ready to supply you with the name of the man responsible for the leak and papers proving his guilt. I have them here.
In return for which you expect?
A quick conclusion to your activities and your return to New York, leaving my name out of your reports.
I'm neither a public official nor a philanthropist. I should do nothing about you unless it becomes necessary. You may remove your hand from your pocket. You wouldn't dare shoot me. Now then, the name of the man.
James Collier.
Proof of his guilt?
These. A series of reports on the committee's meetings in Collier's handwriting.
Thank you. Good night, sir.
Good night.
And I hope for your sake that we do not meet again.
Shooby. Archie, answer the... Oh. Hello?
Mr. Wolf?
Yes, Archie?
I'm at the Collier place.
Since it takes only 10 minutes to get there, may I congratulate you on your speed?
I've been at the Collier place for nearly an hour.
Doing what?
Oh, meeting Claire for one thing, discussing Rosebud.
Your delay has been explained. Good night.
And for another, I was being around when someone got murdered.
Ah, you laid hands on the murderer?
No, the room was dark. The time I got Claire untangled from me and started looking for somebody with a gun, he'd left.
I see. And the dead man, of course, is James Collier.
No, sorry.
Found it, it had to be. Who was he?
Total stranger.
Archie.
I'm not being difficult. There was no identification on him.
Strange. And description?
Early 30s, height maybe 5'10", weight around 175 pounds. Blonde hair, blue eyes, very natty dresser. Suit custom tailored with a built-in shoulder holster. Don Juan shirts. Manicured but very dirty fingernails. And he... Company.
Please? Very well, you tell them whatever you think proper, without mentioning the governor's committee, of course. You'll then bid them farewell and come to the hotel.
Can't I say goodbye to Claire, too?
You cannot. Confound you, Archie. Do you think I want to wait up all night?
Police were not happy about letting me go, but I threatened to tell you on them, so they gave up.
You have told me the entire story of what occurred at the Collier Farm, Archie?
Mm-hmm. All details. If you like, I wouldn't mind repeating the parts about Claire.
Fooey.
You may call it fooey, I call it love. By the way, did you know that it was Robert Herrick who wrote that...
Confound you, be quiet.
Okay, push your lips around, but you've missed something.
I have?
Mm-hmm. The burning question of the day. The night, rather.
Which is?
Where is James Collier?
Bah!
Stop buying. The cops want him on suspicion of murder. The way it shapes up, he shot our unknown pal and then headed for the nearest border.
Nonsense.
Mean he didn't shoot our unknown pal?
I mean, Collier's whereabouts are not a mystery.
You know where he is?
I know where he is.
I don't believe it. You couldn't know. You haven't been out of the hotel. You haven't had any calls.
Archie, I use my intelligence. If you had used yours instead of ogling the girl...
I still wouldn't know where Collier is. Never mind. I'm impressed. What do I do now?
You get Mr. Veek on the phone.
Huh?
He's staying here at the hotel.
Oh, old home week.
Operator.
Mr. Veek, please.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Veek?
Who is this?
Mr. Wolf wants to speak with you. Just a second. Here you are, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Veek, where were you at 10 o'clock?
Why, on my way to the hotel.
You checked in at
10:15, then came directly to your room.
One other question. You have an employee, a man in his early 30s, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, and well-dressed. Am I correct?
Yes, that is Marshall.
No, that was Marshall. Good night, sir.
Having done that, whatever it meant, we now go to sleep?
Fooey, we go to the Collier farm.
Okay, but why?
Because, Archie, the time has come to cross-examine the rabbits. Confound you, Archie. You're not driving a truck. Be careful.
Truck drivers are careful. Also, they are courteous.
Indeed.
Furthermore, they will always stop to help a motorist in time of trouble.
Archie, are you training to become a truck driver, or have you fallen in love with a truck driver's daughter?
Her name is Susie, a hair the color of wheat fields at high noon. Never mind turning purple. I'm about to change the subject. Boss, I have a theory.
Stick to truck drivers.
As follows. Our boy Collier, who'd been selling information to Veek, had a change of heart and decided to turn ethical. But Veek's man, Marshall, at Veek's orders, tried to apply pressure, so Collier shot him and headed for Canada.
And the girl's room.
Must have brightened my life. Oh, you mean about her playing sentry? Well, she's in Veek's employ, too.
Fooey.
Don't like my theory.
It's charming. Merely happens to be wrong.
Merely happens to be... Why is it wrong?
Because, Archie, of a dead man's dirty fingernails. Marshall's fingernails.
Oh. Well, you made me bring you to the rabbit hutches. We have arrived. There are the rabbits. Go ahead, cross-examine them.
A good many hutches. A large pen for the rabbits to run about in. Notice that they're all cowering at the far end of the pen, ran as we entered.
That's because they don't like us, maybe, huh?
One of them, however, seems to be friendly. The one up here, and at the corner opposite us.
Oh, yeah, there is one here. He's not friendly, Mr. Wolf.
Indeed?
He's dead. Somebody stove in his skull.
Interesting.
What's interesting about a dead rabbit?
He may be dead now, Archie, but he was friendly. Too friendly.
Claire, this is Mr. Wolf. Mr. Wolf, this is Claire. Claire, I'm Archie.
Chair, Archie.
A chair. Try this one. Be gentle with it. If you break it, all the early Americans will hate you.
Hello, sir.
Steady.
Oh. Now then.
Mr. Wolf, I'm dreadfully tired. The police have...
Are idiots.
What?
For example, do they know that you were posted as sentry outside this house in order to warn James Collier of any intrusion?
Well, they don't. I wasn't.
Do they know that James Collier and the dead man Marshall were quarreling?
No.
Do they know that James Collier had armed himself in preparation for this meeting with the gunman?
That isn't true.
It is true.
I don't have to say anything.
You've already said more than enough with your actions, my dear.
What do you mean?
According to Archie's report, and Archie is always meticulously accurate, when you and he opened the door of the room in which the murder took place, you screamed at the shots.
Well, of course. Any girl would scream with...
Then you clung to Archie with sufficient force and for sufficient length of time to prevent him from chasing the murderer. Why? Because you had seen and recognized the murderer as the man you loved.
It was too dark to see anything.
True. Therefore, you didn't have to see the man. You thought you already knew who the killer had to be.
That's a lie.
You're shielding James Collier, aren't you?
I'll never admit any of it. Never.
May not be necessary. Archie.
Yes, Mr. Wolf?
Get hold of that policeman outside and remember what happened to one particular rabbit. Well, look around for freshly dug earth. Midnight.
What?
What are we waiting for?
Your return?
Archie's?
No, it'll take him longer.
Well, then whose?
Mr. Veeck's, of course, complete with a revolver. Come in, Mr. Veeck.
It couldn't have been easier. No one outside, only the two of you here. I warned you, Wolf.
Fiddlesticks, you merely tried to use me as a prop for an alibi and a rationalization for a motive.
I don't understand.
Mr. Wolf does.
Indeed I do. Did you really think me fool enough to believe your proposal, Mr. Veeck?
It was plausible.
It was nonsense. You pretended you were handing James Collier plus the proofs of his guilt over to me in an effort to keep yourself out of the picture. But your proposition was silly. No matter how much I might have wanted to help you, I would have been powerless once James Collier went before a jury. You're too intelligent not to know that.
That couldn't have given you enough to go on.
It didn't. You yourself gave me more.
I did.
When you came to my room, you told me you knew Mr. Goodwin and I had come to Greendale, checked in at the hotel.
I did.
However, when I phoned you later and asked for an account of your movements between 10 and 10:30, you replied that you had driven to the hotel, signed in, and came directly to my room. Obviously, you already knew of my presence in the hotel. How? Only one way you could have known. You had seen Archie at some time prior to the time you checked in at the hotel, and the only place where Archie was...
was here, at the farm.
Yes, which told me Mr. Veeck had been here at the time of Marshall's death. What was Veeck doing here? Only one thing. Murder.
Then he killed the gunman.
No other possibility.
But Jimmy, I thought he did it.
James Collier couldn't have killed Marshall because at the time he was killed, James Collier was already...
already dead.
Archie!
What's this?
Leave it. Let's play. Drop that gun first. My arm!
Oh. That's nice and cooperative.
So...
he'll be quiet for a while. A cop is back in the rabbit pen, Mr. Wolf, guarding Collier's grave.
Grave, Archie?
Yeah. With James Collier in it.
Oh. Poor Jimmy.
Veeck knew the expose was coming. He had to shut Collier up. So he had his gunman, Marshall, kill Collier and bury him in the rabbit run back of the hutches. You spotted that, boss, because of...
the dead rabbit. The others scurried away from the man who bore James Collier's body to that lonely spot. But one rabbit overcame his fear. He was too friendly.
And got killed for it. There was that and...
and the dirty fingernails of Marshall, the gunman who killed and buried James Collier. Your description indicated extreme neatness. The dirty fingernails were a wrong note.
Yeah, indicated he'd been digging. So we know now, don't we? Veeck killed his own trigger man to frame a dead man for it. Collier would be thought guilty. He'd be hunted among the living. And all the while... oh, I'm sorry, Claire.
It's all right, Archie. I didn't love Jimmy. That was all washed up. Mr. Wolf, I understand everything, except why did Jimmy suddenly start staying at the farm with the rabbits?
He knew he'd be watched. He couldn't risk conveying his information by telephone or the mails. Nor could he be seen holding conversation with men who might be traced to Veeck. But who would suspect a truck driver delivering carrots for the rabbits as being the go-between for Jimmy Collier and Veeck?
Nero Wolf. Which is why I hope there's an adequate bed in this house for Mr. Wolf.
Well, I'm sure I'll be able to find one.
Splendid, Archie. You will have the police remove Mr. Veeck and then...
and then maybe Claire would like to go gathering rosebuds, huh? By moonlight?
I would like to.
Good. As you go up to bed now, I've seen the moonlight more times than I care to remember. However, while you and Miss Claire stroll through the moonlight, Archie...
yeah?
You might remember that rosebuds have thorns.
You have been listening to The New Adventures of Nero Wolf, starring Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight's transcribed story was based on the characters created by Rex Stout. This is an Edwin Fadiman program, produced and directed by J. Donald Wilson. In the cast were Larry Dobkin as Archie Goodwin, and Martha Shaw, Hal Gerard, Herb Butterfield, Howard McNear, and Bill Johnstone. Next week at this same time, Nero Wolfe and Archie will bring you The Case of the Impolite Corpse. Don Stanley speaking.
Time now for Jack Webb as Sergeant Joe Friday in Dragnet and the episode City Hall Bombing. And I'd like to dedicate this to Bill Manley, a listener somewhere in the central part of Michigan who just loves Dragnet.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to hear is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
NBC brings you Dragnet.
You're a detective sergeant. You've been off duty 2 hours. You receive an emergency call from the chief of detectives. An entire block in the heart of your city is threatened with complete destruction. Your job, report at once.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime, investigated and solved by the men who unrelentingly stand watch on the security of your home, your family, and your life. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Tuesday, November 15th. It was raining in Los Angeles. We were off duty reporting in on an emergency call. My partner's Ben Romero. The boss is Ed Backstrand, chief of detectives. My name's Friday. It was 8:32 a.m. when I walked in the Spring Street entrance of the City Hall.
You, Sergeant Friday?
Yeah, that's right.
Take my elevator, Sergeant. It's the only one in service.
All right.
I'll run you up to 16. The chief's waiting for you up there.
What's the pitch? Only one elevator in service out of 10? The place looks deserted. What's going on?
Nobody in the building. All the office people been sent home. Lots of trouble.
Somebody declare a holiday?
No joke, Sergeant. Big trouble.
All right, you convinced me. What is it?
Here we are. 16th floor.
Over here, Freddy.
Hi, Joe.
Hello, Ben.
You made good time.
Came as soon as I got the call.
Sorry to have to bring you back in. You worked last night, didn't you?
Yeah, midnight to 8 this morning.
Sorry. Come on.
Okay.
What is it, Skipper? Why all the hush?
Wait till we get inside. In here.
Okay.
Number one, let's keep our voices down.
All right.
I'll make it as brief as I can. Every minute counts. What time you got, Friday?
8:33.
All right, here it is. 55 minutes ago, a man walked into this building with a homemade bomb under his arm. If we don't release his brother from the county jail by 9 o'clock this morning, he says he'll pull the trigger on the bomb and blow up the whole building.
He's kidding, Skipper.
Who is the guy?
Name's Vernon Carney. Here's his package. He and his brother have been in and out of jail since 1937. Small-time thieves.
Yeah. Where's the FBI kickback? We had him once before, both of them.
Brother's name is Elwood. Saving a year for car stripping.
And this two-bit thief is sitting here in a city hall with a bomb on his lap?
That's right. In the next room.
What kind of a bomb is it, Ed? You think he's bluffing?
Could be bluffing, but the crime lab says no.
Lee Jones from the lab get a look at it?
Been in there twice. One end of the box is glass. Says you can't see much without a closer look, but you can't get near the guy.
What do you want us to do?
It's a volunteer job. You can take it or leave it. I won't order you to do it.
How you want to handle it?
You sure you want a piece of this one, Romero?
No, he doesn't, Ed. He's got a family. Get me another single man. We'll give it a try.
Wait a minute, Joe. What makes this job so different? Anytime we kick a door in, we never know what's on the other side.
That's what makes it different. This time we do.
No, you're not going to cut me out. Not the only time I know what I'm getting into.
All right. Chandler's tried. Hannon, Davis, Watson, they've all tried. This guy Carney knows what he's doing. He's no pushover. But somebody's got to get that bomb away from him. Friday, Romero, it's your baby now.
I looked at my watch. It was 8:36. We left Backstrand and started down the hall. If Carney was going to make good his threat to blow up the building by 9 o'clock, we had exactly 24 minutes to talk him out of it. Ben and I figured we'd better look him over first and then work out some kind of a plan. Maybe just talking to him would do it. Vernon Carney was sitting in a straight-back chair against the far wall facing the door. He was seated between two windows that looked out over the city. Along the left wall was a row of six wooden chairs. In the center of the right wall was a connecting door leading to the office where Backstrand had briefed us. The door was locked on both sides. Just off center and favoring the left of the room was a small filing table. The other furniture in the office was a desk just forward of the connecting door on the right. There was a dictaphone on the desk. In the near left corner, shielded by a white screen, was a small wash basin. The faucet leaked. Vernon Carney was middle-aged. He sat erect, holding a black box on his lap. He held his right hand inside one end of the box. Ben and I stood there for a minute and looked at him. Then we walked in the room. What do you say to a man with a bomb?
That's close enough.
Cigarette, Carney?
I'm not smoking right now.
What are you trying to prove?
You know what I want.
We're not going to let your brother out of jail.
You got until 9 o'clock to change your mind. According to that clock on the wall, you got 24 minutes.
If we go, you're going with us, Carney.
Don't take much of a brain to figure that, copper.
What made you think you could get away at this?
Haven't yet. It ain't 9 o'clock. Unless that clock's slow. Haven't checked it against my pocket watch lately. That's the one that's running this show.
Have you given any thought to all the innocent people that are going to go up with that thing of yours there?
My brother's innocent. I want him out of jail.
The court says he's guilty. He'll get out when he serves his time.
That's where you're wrong, copper. He gets out at 9 o'clock this morning.
All right, come on, Carney. Get your hand out of that box. Put the box on the table.
You think I'm bluffing, don't you? I'm going to let you get within 5 feet before I make a liar out of you.
Okay, Carney. I guess you mean business.
You can take 3 more steps and find out for sure.
Suppose we did let your brother out. We'd just come out and pick him up again, you along with him.
If you could find us.
Let's get this straight. If we let your brother Elwood out, how do we know you're going to keep your promise?
What promise? I ain't made any promises. You just get Elwood down here first, and then we'll talk about it.
There's only one thing I can't figure, Carney.
Yeah, what's that?
If we don't let your brother out, you say you'll pull the trigger on that bomb. You're going to kill a lot of innocent people. What are you going to prove by that?
It's 8:37. You've got 23 minutes left.
Now, I wish you'd answer that one for me. Why do you want to kill a lot of innocent people?
Don't try to con me, copper. I know they cleared everybody out of this building 45 minutes ago. I know they cleaned out the whole block. They got it roped off.
Where'd you get your information?
I got a couple of windows here to look out of. Don't you think it's about time to send somebody over to get Elwood?
You know, Carney, we've got a way out of this. We don't have to let your brother out neither.
I've heard that before.
What's to stop us from leaving the building along with the other few officers and let you sit here and touch off that bomb?
Go ahead. It won't be a long wait without you. Who are you trying to kid? You'd let me blow up $10 million worth of taxpayers' money? Ah, no. You're going to let Elwood out. You'll wait till the last minute to do it. But you'll let him out.
Ed, I'm still not convinced Carney can back up what he says.
Then why didn't you take the box away from him?
Yeah.
We're in a spot, let's face it.
How about an eye for an eye, Skipper?
What do you mean?
If he pulls the trigger on that machine, he kills us. How about us getting him first?
All right, Romero. How are you going to handle it?
I'm not top man on the pistol range, but I could wing him.
And then he hands the box to you? Or maybe he falls and his reflex action pulls the trigger.
Okay, I don't wing him. I stop him for keeps.
You just can't walk in there and shoot him down.
Why not? You do the same thing with armed criminal.
Yeah, but you warn him first.
I'll warn him.
Yeah, and after you shoot him, you find out it's a harmless gadget. Couldn't have gone off in a million years.
No, no, a gun's not the answer. We can't shoot him until we're positive.
We'll be positive by 9 o'clock, and there might not be anybody around to shoot him.
We've located Carney's apartment. There's a detail out there checking it now. Pacelli and Morris.
Ed, have you got any ideas at all? Anything we could try?
That's why I called you in. None of us have gotten any further than you did just now.
There's just one thing I want to know for sure.
Yeah, Friday. Is it or isn't it? We all want to know.
Either way, we've got to get that box away from him.
Backstrand. Yeah. You did? Yeah. No, stay out there till I call you. All right, here's half the answer. That was Pacelli. They found 28 sticks of dynamite in Carney's apartment.
We knew Carney wasn't kidding now. We could see into the bomb through that glass window in one end. It looked like dynamite inside, and there was dynamite in Carney's room. We didn't know if he had the nerve to pull the trigger. We didn't know if it would go off when he did. But with only minutes remaining, nobody wanted to take the chance. From here on in, all of us agreed that Vernon Carney sat in the next room, holding in his two hands a force powerful enough to destroy us all. We had to get that box away from him. And to get that box, we had to have a plan. I looked at my watch. It was 8:40. 20 minutes till 9 o'clock.
How do we get it away from him?
I got an idea. It might work.
Let's have it.
Carney's sitting against the far wall between two windows. They're both open.
Yeah, try.
All right, if we could get a man through one of those windows, we might get Carney from behind.
How are you going to get him?
Whoever gets through the window could slug him.
What do you do then?
Somebody grabs the box. The crime lab can tell us what to do with it.
How do we get a man through one of those windows? We're on the 16th floor.
Well, there's some kind of a ledge that runs around the building on each story.
Wide enough for a man to walk on?
And let's take a look.
All right.
Looks pretty narrow, Joe.
That's a good 18 inches. Could be done.
Not too risky. It's raining out. That ledge is slippery.
Strong wind out there, Joe. Tear a man right off the building.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Well, there's still a way. How about a ladder?
16 floors, skipper.
There might be a way. Fire department would know that. I'll get Battalion Chief Erickson.
Is Lee Jones in the building?
No, he's over in the crime lab. I'll get him up here, too. I don't know, Friday. Maybe it'll work.
It's got to, Ed.
All right, now look. It's going to take a couple of minutes to set this up. We've got to know what Carney's doing every second of that time.
Well, how about the dictaphone in there on desk?
Good. Get it on without him seeing you.
We'll try.
The dictaphone in there is connected to this one in here. This room is 1614. You got that?
Yeah.
All right, push down key 1614 on that machine in there and leave it down. Get the receiver off the hook and leave it off.
Leave the receiver off.
That's right. You know, if it isn't off the hook, we won't be able to hear a thing in here.
All right. Come on, Ben.
This is Backstrand. Give me Chief Erickson.
Where's my brother?
Still in his cell.
You coppers are long on talk, but short on time.
Yeah, we know.
I'm telling you, for your own good, you'd better get Elwood over here.
Carney, I'll bet if we get your brother on the phone here, he'll tell you he doesn't want any part of this.
You mean Elwood don't want out? Since when?
Sure he wants out. Not your way.
He's only got a year to serve. Why don't you leave him alone?
I told him I'd get him out. He didn't think I could do it. But I'm doing it.
I'll make you a bet, Carney. Let us get your brother on the phone. We won't walk out of here with you.
Get him on the pipe. Where are you going? The phone's over here.
I have to use the dictaphone. We're getting okay from the chief. Elwood's still a prisoner.
What's the matter with the phone?
No operators. You know the building's been cleared.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Almost forgot. Okay, you can use the dictaphone.
This Friday, Ed. Carney wants to talk to his brother. Yeah, I know you'll have to send somebody over. Have them put the call on extension. Wait a minute. What's that extension number, Ben?
2351.
2351, Ed. Right. It'll take a minute.
Yeah. I'd kind of like to talk to L. Been a couple of months since I seen him. We've always been together, me and L, most of the time.
Joe, let's go and see if we can hurry that call.
Good idea, boy. 16 minutes to 9. Hey, cop.
Yeah.
Forgot to hang up the dictaphone, didn't you?
I put the receiver back on the dictaphone. Ben and I had failed to make good on the first step of the plan. When we got outside the door, we briefed Davis and Watson. They went in to sit with Carney. It would be their job to keep us posted on Carney's movements. The dictaphone was out. We went back into the office next door. Chief Sam Erickson of the fire department and Lieutenant Lee Jones from the crime lab were already there. We told Backstrand what happened.
It would have been a help. We haven't got time to cry over it.
Carney's wide awake, Skipper. He doesn't miss a thing.
Backstrand told us the plan Friday. We can't run a ladder up from the street.
Too high, Chief?
Best we got is a 100-foot area. You figure 12 foot to the story, that'll take you up 96 feet. 8 floors. And we've got the latest equipment.
What's the idea you had, Jones?
Sam, can you get hold of a pump here in a hurry?
Sure, we got a lot of scaling ladders, but you got nothing up there to hook them on.
You figure I'm dropping down from the floor above?
That's right, and I figure a pump here would do it.
Sure it would. You could make it fast to the windowsill up there, but you got a foot and a half ledge in the way. No, what you want is a lifeline.
You mean lower a man on a rope, Chief?
Yeah, Romero. That's the quickest and the quietest.
Could you rig it so one of my boys could do it?
Sure.
What's the risk?
None, if you work it right. We'll strap on a life belt. Give the man heavy leather gloves. Two of my men will lower him down. Pick the lightest man.
What do you think, Lee?
That's it.
What do we do with the bomb? We get it.
I figure that box Carney's holding is about a foot square. Here's what I'll do. I'll get you a bucket with a foot and a half mouth. It'll be full of water.
Yeah?
I'll have it right outside the door of that office. When you get that box, place it in the water. We'll get the bucket out of the building as fast as we can.
And once we get the bomb underwater, we're in a clear.
And I can't promise you that, but it's the safest way to handle it under the circumstances.
All right, that's the procedure. Sam, you take care of your end.
Right away.
I'll get a detail to give me a hand down on the street. We'll have a car ready to take the bomb to a safe area to decommission it.
Work as fast as you can.
Come on, Sam.
It's our baby, Joe.
That's right.
Which part of it you want, the rope or the bomb?
You call it.
Fire Chief Erickson says the lightest man on the rope.
That's me, Joe.
All right, I'll get the bomb out of the building.
Okay, that's the routine. But carry this with you. The man that comes down on that rope has one chance to make good. You slug him and make it count because there's no second try.
Yeah.
And Joe, when you grab that box, you got to get it away from Carney before he can squeeze the trigger. Then you got to get it down into the street.
The elevator.
You know how to operate it?
That's pretty simple, but I'll double check with the operator.
Better do it right now.
Okay. Ed, we better get Carney's brother on the phone for him. He seemed anxious.
Might be a pretty good stall.
All right, Romero. That's the outside phone. Get the city jail.
All right, Skipper.
Get going, Friday.
Okay. Hey, you. Elevator man.
Sergeant.
Let me see if I know how to work that thing.
You taking over the elevator?
Well, in a couple of minutes. You want to check me out?
Nothing to it, Sergeant.
All right.
Now, here's the control, see? Uh-huh. You push this lever right to go up, left to go down. You see this little trigger on the underside of the handle?
Yeah.
That's the safety lock. Be sure you squeeze it or you can't move the lever.
Let me try that.
That's it. Uh-huh. Right to go up, uh-huh. Left to go down.
Right to go up, left to go down. How do you operate the doors?
Automatic. They work off the control lever. When the control lever is locked in the up or down position, the doors will close.
I get it.
Now, in case they jam, this red emergency button up here...
Yeah.
Push it. If that doesn't close them, we call the repairman.
Okay, I think I got it.
You sure now? I've had my orders to get out of the building. I'll just leave the elevator right here and take the stairs down.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Sergeant, just curious. You gonna take the bomb down in this car?
We're gonna try.
You won't have any trouble. We haven't had an elevator failure in 18 months.
The elevator man turned and went down the stairs. Outside of a handful of volunteers and a man with a bomb... The city hall was now cleared. I started down the corridor and met Ben outside the office. He told me that Lee Jones and Chief Erickson were on their way up in the freight elevator at the rear of the building with the necessary equipment. The two fire department volunteers were with him. The phone call had been put through to the city jail, and in a moment, Elwood Carney would be ready at the other end of the line. We went in to tell Carney.
I told him over at the jail to put the call through on extension 2351.
Yeah. When's it coming through?
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
You got Elwood with you?
No. Look, Carney, we told you we'd get him on the phone for you. The call will be through in a minute.
Minute's a long time, cop. You only got 12 of them left.
Elwood's going to talk you out of this.
Oh, sure. Sure everybody's going to talk me out of this. First it was them other two cops, the little porky guy and that other monkey. Then you and this Dixie Doughhead here, and now it's Elwood. Come off it, will you, and get my brother over here.
That's him.
It's your brother, Connie. I'll get him.
They put you.
Just going to get the phone. You want to talk to your brother, don't you?
I'll take care of the phone. We'll disconnect it for a while. Now get it straight, copper. I'm through with your stinking, rotten lying. I want Elwood here. And I want him now. Bring him here before I blow you all to pieces.
What's going on? Who threw that phone out in the hall?
I did. You want me to go out and pick it up?
Carney, that's not going to get you anyplace.
You the big boss around here?
Maybe.
Are you or aren't you?
I answered you.
All right, big boy. I've got a piece of advice for you. Take your rookie cops here and get it through their heads. I mean what I say. I want my brother over here in this room. And you've got just 11 minutes to get it done. Tell him that, will you, boy?
All right, Carney. It's your show. All right, we got to work fast now. Jones, everything set for you?
Got the bucket with the water right here. Car's waiting down the street.
Right. Erickson, your boy's ready?
Upstairs, waiting.
And we all know what to do.
Ed, I got to have somebody to give me a hand with Carney when he falls.
I'll be in there with you, Friday.
Ready to go upstairs, Chief?
Anytime.
Oh.
One thing you ought to know.
What's that?
Strong wind coming up. About 20 mile an hour out there right now.
That going to louse us up?
No, but it's going to increase the sway. Got to allow for it.
How you mean?
Wind's coming from the south. We'll lower you just to the right of the window. If I figure it correctly, wind will do the rest. Bigger risk, but... We don't control the weather.
How are you going to do it, Ben? As soon as I get in position, I'll reach in through the window on his right. I'll use the belly. Try to catch him on the right side of his head. One good hit should put him away.
Let's make it two and be sure, huh?
Right. You ready, Chief?
Now let's go. Ben.
Yeah?
Nothing.
I'll be careful. You too, huh?
What's the time, Friday?
8:50.
Shouldn't take more than a couple of minutes for Romero to get down to that window, lest the wind gives him trouble.
Jones, no use you sticking around.
I'll give Friday a hand.
It's my job. We've got to keep you alive to decommission the bomb.
Bomb joke. See you downstairs.
You ready, Ed?
Yeah. Scared, Friday?
Yeah.
That makes us even. Come on.
Ed Backstrand and I went into the next room with Vernon Carney. Our job was to keep him occupied until Ben was lowered to the windowsill from the floor above. Ben was going to make a try from the window on Carney's right. Somehow, we had to keep Carney's attention on us and away from that window. If anything went wrong and Carney got out of position, the plan would fail. If Ben was spotted, the plan would fail. If Chief Erickson didn't estimate the force of the wind correctly, the plan would fail. After Ben slugged Carney, my timing had to be perfect. If it wasn't, the plan would fail. I looked at my watch. It was 8 minutes to 9.
Carney, anything we can say that'll make you change your mind?
I've asked you 100 times. Now I'm ordering you. You're going to get to a phone and have somebody send Elwood over here right now. I'm through waiting. Now move.
You ripped out the phone, Carney.
Well, find another one. I told you I'm sick of your two-bit stalling.
We've got until 9 o'clock to make up our mind about this.
You had until 9. But you wouldn't do what I told you. Now I'm cutting you short. You guys have got exactly 1 minute to get a phone in this room where I can hear you call the jail and have them send Elwood over here.
You said 9, Carney.
All right, Joe. We'll give him what he wants.
Davis, unlock the connecting door to this office.
I'll get the phone, Ed.
Will the cord reach?
Yeah.
Your brother's a prisoner. He's in our custody and he's under our protection. We can't place his life in jeopardy.
Why not leave it up to Al?
Here's the phone, Ed.
Yeah. Kenworthy, this is Backstrand. We want Elwood Carney over here at City Hall. His brother wants to see him. Explain the situation. If he wants to come, get him over here. Leave it up to him. Room 1614. You'll have to use the freight elevator.
And tell him to hurry.
Yeah. Tell him to hurry.
That's the only smart thing you've done today. Now, why don't you go next door and figure out another angle?
We'll wait for L2.
You don't think I'd let you get out now, do you? We're all going to wait right here for my brother. In case he don't show up, you're going to see me pull the plug. Just sit down. Not so close. Right where you are, sit down. Loud clock, ain't it? Windy. Getting cold in here. Sure a loud clock. Real windy. Maybe I ought to close the windows. Don't want to catch any of cold.
I can turn on the heat.
Stay put, cop. Hey, what's that? What's going on?
Just the wind.
Shut up! There's somebody out there. I can see his feet. You stupid cops. Pull him up! Get back there! You pull him up!
Friday, tell him to pull him up.
Right.
Pull him up! Pull him up! Pull him up! Pull him up!
All right, Carney. You win.
You bet I win, you dumb coppers. You didn't think I'd miss a trick like that. We'll just close these windows, boys. Here's one, and lock it. And here's...
Here's your brother, Carney.
Yeah. Hi, Al.
Hi, Vern. You did it.
I told you. I told you I'd do it, didn't I? That's far enough for the rest of you. Al, come on over here.
You're crazy, Vern. You're crazy.
Yeah, that's what they've been trying to tell me. We're going home, Al.
How are you
going
to do it? There's a million cops outside. People all over town heard about this. They're holding the crowd back.
They ain't going to stop us now, Al.
You'll never make it, either one of you.
I got him this far, didn't I? We'll make it.
Vern, you think we could do it?
Hey, you.
Yeah?
You're going to get a car ready for us, a fast one. Have it in front of the building. Move!
All right, Friday, do what he tells you.
Right.
Hold it. If you ain't back by 9 o'clock, the deal still holds. I told him I'd pull the pin at 9, Al, if they didn't let you out.
You ain't fooling, are you, Vern? Will that gadget really blow?
4 miles high. You know what that means, Al?
Yeah, but they won't let you pull it. We're getting out.
All right, copper. Get the car. You've got 4 minutes.
What happened? He spotted me?
Yeah, there's no time to explain. Now, listen, we got to work fast.
Yeah?
We had to bring Carney's brother over from the jail. I don't think he cares if they get out or not. He just wants to use that bomb, and for some crazy reason, he's waiting until 9.
How much time we got?
Let me look. Less than 4 minutes.
How about the ledge?
You think he can do it? Strong wind. He'll have to hang on like a fly.
I don't know. I can give it a try.
Okay. Same plan. Every second counts. Now, I can't brief Ed. He's in the room with the guy. It's up to you and me.
I'll get on the ledge from one of these offices. I hope we'll make it.
If you don't, we'll know you tried. Hurry. Hey, Ben, wait a minute.
Yeah?
I forgot. The windows. The one on his right. He locked it. You'll have to crawl around to the one on the left. You got it?
Right.
Okay.
The car will be ready in 2 minutes. Up front.
Fine. Elle and I'll just sit here and wait. Gonna be good being back together, huh, Elle?
We always were real good together, Vern.
Yeah, that's the way brothers ought to be together all the time. Together.
Vern, I'd feel better with a gun.
We don't need no gun, Elle. We got the bomb.
We'll need a gun when we get out, when we get on the road.
Okay. Take your pick. They all got them. Hey, you, give him yours.
I'm not carrying a gun. I left it in the other room.
A cop without a gun? Who's kidding who?
I left it in the other room.
Frisk the big boy, Al. He's got one. About time for the car, ain't it? 2 minutes to 9.
Yeah, this feels like it. Right on his hip. Hey, Vern, look out!
Grab him, Joe, I got him. Yeah. Get the box!
Leave that gun alone.
I got him, Ben. I gotta get his hand out of it.
Run, Joe, get it in the water. Run!
In a fast elevator, 16 floors isn't very much, but I've never shared an elevator with a live bomb. It seemed like minutes between floors. I kept watching the bucket. The bomb was completely underwater. A small stream of bubbles was hissing to the surface. I waited. Main floor. I picked up the bucket and ran for the street. I missed the first step. I fell forward. The bucket spun out of my hand. I sprawled flat on the sidewalk. I waited for the explosion.
It didn't go off Friday.
Yeah. I gave it a good chance, Lee.
It was all there. Look, at least a dozen sticks of dynamite. Snyder, bring that over here.
Here you are, Lieutenant.
Thanks. Here's why it didn't go off. Got it rigged for a hard trigger pull. Would have taken a good yank to set this one off.
Yeah.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Ben.
Clumsy.
The story you have just heard is true. Only the names were changed to protect the innocent.
Vernon Carney was examined by 5 different psychiatrists appointed by the Superior Court and was found to be incompetent. He is now confined in the state mental institution for the criminally insane. Elwood Carney is now serving the balance of his sentence with no time off for good behavior. You have just heard the 7th in a new series of authentic cases from official files. Technical advice for Dragnet is furnished by the Los Angeles Police Department.
Thank you for listening. I hope you'll be with me next week when I uncover more gems from the golden age of radio. Thanks to Joel Schoenwell and Paul Stringer for technical support. The executive producer for Theater of the Mind is Moses Neimer. I'm Frank Proctor. Have a wonderful weekend.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.